B-Pod Studios.
Good.
I'm gonna go show it to Jamie real quick.
Wait, Jamie has seen it.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I thought you had seen it.
No,
Bob was running across the room to show you.
No, oh, he now, tried.
Now Bob is going into the producer's studio.
I'm
going
to throw his phone.
Where Jamie is located, and he is about to show him the Nurkic play from last night in which a man's leg pretty much went the opposite direction.
I'm closing my eyes as he approaches me with his bad.
And now Jamie has had his own injuries in his own athletic career, and I'm not talking about media day with the wigs. I'm talking
Cut's
about...
Cut's almost gone, by the way.
How many times? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for your little rug burn?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
little
nice.
Turf burn.
Oh, that's nice.
A little turf bar.
Bob is still trying to call it up for Jamie himself and to show him the play.
I'm going
to
close my eyes.
Where Jusuf Nurkic last night, Portland Trail Blazers against the Brooklyn Nets. Jamie is still looking away from the phone. And he doesn't want to see it.
Yeah, I've seen it. Jared Dudley's reaction was enough for me to know I don't want to see it.
See that?
Yeah.
You're not a slave to truth. I am a slave to truth. That's what makes me a journalist. And Trey, you have no feeling on whether or not this is something that they show or not?
I really don't care. It's not something that I like to watch.
Bob is... This is the most I've ever seen Bob, like eager to make somebody watch something.
All right, look. He goes in for the rebound.
Oh, my gosh. He's not looking. Jamie's not looking.
Mark, you're right. He did come down on somebody's leg.
Yes, he did. Now we know what happened.
I'm good, Bob.
Jamie, I'm good.
All right.
I'm going
to
play.
All right. Now we're almost sounding like we're having fun with this, and I don't want it to come off as we're having fun.
No, I just don't want to see it.
Jamie does not want to see it. Now, Jamie, please, a brief intermission. Give me Bob Cooney on breaking down Jake Arrieta's pitching rotation yesterday.
Had a little bite on his balls.
There you go. That lightened the mood. Stanley in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Stanley?
How you doing, man?
Good,
how you guys doing? I'm doing the conversation this morning.
Thanks.
I was calling because I was wondering to ask you guys a question. Do you guys believe it's the physical conditioning that's affecting the mental condition in the third and fourth quarter?
You know what? We kind of asked that question a little bit earlier because we had started looking up stats on how their play started declining after halftime. But I don't know. I think with the way they play, I mean, do you think conditioning would be a problem?
Yeah. I mean, I played ball, and you know, if you're not physically in shape, mentally you start breaking down.
Of course, yeah.
Later over time, and I'm assuming that's what's occurring. I know you guys always joke about practice, and they don't practice and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And I would say that's a lack of practice issue. I would say. And also, it seems that way based off of the turnover they have in the third and fourth quarter.
But this is my question, though. How can they condition during the season with the way their season is laid out? We have so many back-to-backs, only a day off.
Maybe better eating habits. I know Joel Embiid has been rumored for eating bad things that's preventing his body to be better and get better condition, I would assume.
That's a little while ago.
I'm not privy to Joel Embiid's food intake. I don't know what you got, Stanley.
And I'm pretty sure you got the best of the best over there as far as nutritionists.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm just assuming about rumors. Nothing factual. But as far as I'm just saying, I'm just trying to understand on why so many costly turnovers and so many mental mistakes are occurring in the fourth quarter. I'm going to have to be one issue in the playoffs because they'll be playing more time. There will be X.
We're losing you, brother. Sorry about that, but I appreciate the call. 610-632-0975. Do have to tell you, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster and a bag, get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Dean in Mount Airy, then we got open
what's
lines up, after that, 610-632-0975.
What's going on,
hey, Dean, what's going on?
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. They don't prepare for the second half as players a lot of times. So that's why they come out last days ago. Now they start to the end of the second half, the second quarter, and then when they come back out there doing half, but just before halftime, they try to give them a medium effort, and then you got to give a full effort to actually win that kind of game. You know what I'm saying? Then they rely on too many. Then they rely, well, Ben wasn't playing, so they're relying on what he takes up in that offense or what him handling the ball or him using the fourth spot. It's a lot of reasons why that happens. See, but if I'm Brett, as soon as the plane hit here, because they already had it, they get rest, I would bring their butts back here over in Camden and work on some situational things and make sure they know from here going out what you expect as a coach.
Yeah, sorry, I think we lost you there for a second there. But one of the interesting things from yesterday's game was that they went into it knowing that they came out of the Hawks game looking sluggish, looking lazy, according to Tobias Harris, and that energy level still wasn't up. Urgency, after a teammate uses the word lazy when describing your play, when a veteran like Jimmy Butler says that you were playing a style of basketball that makes you think, oh, we're just good enough to show up and win, and then you come out and play the way you did against the Magic, you can't close out a game like that? Like, Ben Simmons or not, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris should be good enough to at least contend down the stretch with a team like the Magic, and certainly not go 0 for a century in 12 minutes, a 12-minute stretch of that game.
You should accidentally score a basket in that amount of time in an NBA game. You know, Jimmy Butler, we were watching the highlights. I think we were all together on one of the breaks. Had a great breakdown move, a spin drive, went in, wide open layup. And it was like a little kid. He like threw it to the other side of the basket. There were some things that just went on in that game that didn't make sense to me. I don't know if they're in this, we got the third seed, play, get your workout, don't get hurt. I don't know what it is. I'd be shocked if it was that. But something is off right now.
Look, they're not moving up from the three seed. But is Brett Brown telling them that the three seed is theirs and that they're just trying to maintain and land the plane and be healthy for the postseason? Is Brett Brown telling them, hey, this is where we want to be? Is that a bad thing? Or should he be telling them, let's go get that number two spot? Because it's still possible.
Or what? Get that number four spot and avoid Toronto in the second round. That's what I would be doing.
Maybe.
You'd play to lose, get the floor spot to get Boston in the first round?
He's saying tank. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
That's what he's saying.
See, you start playing those games, you get yourself in trouble.
No, James, I wasn't honest
to God. I wasn't saying what you were saying. But if they're playing the game of, don't worry, we got the three seed, you know, let's coast in here or whatever. No, this is the time, landing the plane. This is the time where you're like getting things right. Landing the plane means everything's ready to go again on all cylinders. It doesn't mean you just, you know, you sit back and kick back and take a nap for the last eight games. No, you got to get, as far as the way I read what Brett said through the years, come late March, come early April, you want everything going on all cylinders. And they're not right now.
No, you absolutely do. But what I'm saying is Brett has said a couple of times, I think he said it after the Hawks game and said it again last night. You got to land the plane and the three seed is ours. It's our job right now to land the plane and make sure we're ready for the postseason. What I'm saying, what I'm asking, is that a mistake? Should he have this team gunning for the number two spot? Because, look, they got, eight games left in the season. They're four games behind the Raptors. So you need four straight losses for the Raptors. You need four straight wins for you. Is Brett Brown saying, I can't push the team to do that now because I don't want to expend their energy for the postseason? Or should he be doing exactly what he is doing, which is just kind of do what you can to maintain your positioning right now? Should he have them gunning for more? In the risk of not being ready for the postseason, or should he have them at the level they're at now, assuming they actually play better than what they had the last two games?
All right, well, if you're not gunning for more, you need to be playing sharp. You know, you just can't be out there just throwing the ball around.
There you go, 15 turnovers, no excuses.
Yeah, you can't go out there and get out-rebound, giving up all of these offensive rebounds. You know, you got to cut out some of these, like you said, the turnovers. You still have to play with, work on communicating, because this is one of the major things that has been an issue. So if you're not going to go balls to the wall, then all right, let's go ahead and start. Let's start working on those things that have been an issue for us.
Yeah, I have real trouble anytime you ask an athlete maybe to tone it down a little bit.
That's when injury comes.
Yeah, that's my pet peeve. Yeah. That is absolutely. When you don't play 100%, you get hurt. I mean, that's just what it is. I think what it is, and Mark, you make a good point, there's almost no goal to go for because
your goal is to maintain right now, which is a crappy goal.
But that's where it comes from within. That's where it has to come from within, saying, mm-hmm. look, I got to get my game to playoff level now. Like, I got to get this team to playoff level now. We want to go into the playoffs knowing we're playing our best basketball. You might not get that two seed, but your goal right now has to be playing your best come that first game of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And that's what Brett, that's the goal for Brett. But do you agree with this is the way it's supposed to be? Where it seems like the goal right now is maintain where you're at. Don't fall back down to the Pacers, who are two games behind you, and certainly don't fall down to the Celtics at the number five spot, which is next to impossible. But is the goal right now just to stay at number three, not shoot for the number two spot, which is also next to impossible? But going into these two games that they just lost, it wasn't impossible. Is that what the goal is right now? I think that's the bar that Brett is setting for the team. That all you have to do right now is be the number three, lock it up for yourself, and then we'll see what happens in the postseason. Or, to keep their attention, should it be go get those Raptors? Go get number two.
If that's what gets your best basketball out of these guys, out of this team, mm-hmm. is to say you can get that number two, well then, yeah, that's the message I would be sending.
Did they play their best possible basketball without Ben Simmons last night? Albeit without Ben.
No.
Did Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, even TJ McConnell. TJ McConnell is not a great basketball player by any means, but he is a guy that actually becomes very serviceable when he hustles, and only when he hustles. And I didn't get that from TJ last night. And then you also have JJ Redick go ice cold in the game. Like, did they play their best style of basketball as best as possible without Ben Simmons?
No, exactly. There's a lot of problems.
So yeah. how do they motivate themselves? How does a coach motivate them? How do the players motivate each other?
Not playing TJ and JJ in the playoffs.
Well, let's get to the playoffs. What I'm saying is they want to land the plane. Right now it's coming in a little bumpy. Right now there's a little turbulence to end the season. Now they got the Nets ahead of them on Thursday night. Then they bounce back against the Nets. Like, everyone told me, oh, relax, they're going to be fine against the Magic. Yeah, that didn't work out so
much. Well, they're at home, so if they don't, I would say it's a problem.
Okay, they're great.
But it's certainly not, like, going into it with the most confidence in the world.
No, exactly. But do they need to set a higher bar for themselves other than maintain? That's the question right now.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maintain should ever be a bar.
That's what it's at. That's the spot they seem to be at for the last really two games.
Yeah, because like you said, you want to go into the playoffs firing on all cylinders, and right now you aren't. And if you start just lagging back, it's just going to continue to enforce those bad habits that you're working at, that's been going all of this time. If anything, you should be breaking these bad habits so that they don't carry over into postseason.
Yeah, great teams, great cultures, they don't maintain during the season. They'll have a handful of games where maybe guys get rested or to, like we talked about, it's one of those trap games or whatever it may be. But no, every game is a game that you look to get better somehow, or at least maintain. Your maintaining should be at the highest of level that you can play. That's the only time you should ever look to maintain, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? This team hasn't reached this. Look, I'm sorry, but ever since they made these transactions, this team hasn't reached a potential that we all expected. They haven't reached it yet. So they have nothing to maintain because they haven't reached where they need to go.
No, exactly. The only thing I expected this team to do was beat the Celtics last week. That's the only thing I expected them to do. Since then, it's like, oh, finally, beat the Celtics. Let's take a break. Now, look, they battled the Hawks. They took them down to the wire. They should have beat that team regardless of how good they were playing. Then they go into the Magic after calling themselves out and throwing themselves under the bus, like Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons and all those guys. And they go out, and they just absolutely packed it in for 12 minutes. I mean, Bob, you said you should have scored by accident in that stretch.
You get a quick rebound, and somebody breaks out and you throw a long outlet pass for a dunk. Like, you know, it shouldn't be that
but
hard.
Where's the depth? Like, there's no depth on this team. You had to empty the bench. Zaire Smith. Now, I knew it was a long shot when we talked about it yesterday, but I wanted to see him in the game. I got my wish. It wasn't a plan from Brett Brown. The game was out of hand. Your bench was short. You needed to empty it out. So Zaire Smith gets in the game. That's how desperate this team was yesterday to try to find somebody to give him some kind of spark. He came in. He hit a three. But it also shows you how you are lacking depth on this team like never before. Mm-hmm. You could rely on a guy like Marco Bellinelli last year or Ersan Ilyasova to come out and get you a couple of good minutes, get you some points. Last night, you were at the far end of your bench, especially putting in a guy who's never played at the NBA level before. But you mean to tell me you couldn't get a better effort than that?
You should have.
I'm at my wit's end with the team.
Yeah, and that's why you have questioning whether they're maintaining or something. You know, it's as Brett said after Saturday's game, head scratching.
Well, Trey pointed it out. If the goal is just to maintain, then you should be playing. If you're not playing, I guess all out and trying to get up to that number two spot, right, to catch the Raptors. If that wasn't a goal a couple of games ago, like it should have been, then maybe you're not seeing the turnovers like you saw last night. Maybe you're just trying to play. No, just want to play smart basketball, not necessarily playing timid, but maybe just playing smart basketball where you're not turning the basketball over 15 times in a game. Where you're not having a guy like J.J. Redick
like
shoot.
Working on a certain style, you mean, kind of?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Just working on playing smart, figuring out what your other teammate is doing that you're not used to playing next to. Like, maybe that should be more the style. Maybe Joel Embiid should be worried more about what's going on down on the blocks as opposed to what's going on at the top of the key.
Well, if they're playing that style, then they're winning these games.
If they just play smart. Yeah. If they just play smart basketball, they're not turning the basketball over 15 times in that game against the Magic. Mm-hmm. If they're just playing smart.
Working on that communication part of it, making sure working on how you're going to handle the pick and rolls. I mean, you know, Joel playing down low. First of all, starting the game with your energy up. Whatever you got to do to get your energy up. I remember like one of the things like we used to get all in the little huddle and knock each other around. That was just to get your energy up, to get your mind right for what was about to happen. And then you sniff an ammonia cap and then you get on out there. Now I'm pretty sure we were killing some brain cells, but you know, it kind of took that glass out of you.
But damn it, you were ready.
Yeah, you know, you hit an ammonia cap, man. Hey, you're ready to go.
Bob, do they have ammonia capsules on the sidelines in the bench of the NBA?
Smelling salts.
I never saw it when I was covering, no. Not that I know of. Maybe they have them in the locker room before they come out, but I never saw them on the sidelines of the NBA, no. A lot of gum. Cool. A lot of gum. Yeah. Powder. Put on your hands. Yeah. You know.
I don't know, man. I do have concerns about this team after these last two games. Because these are games that you should win. These are games that not necessarily, you're not going to blow out everybody, but these are games, the biggest concern is what happened last night. And it's not just the fact that it was 12 minutes of no baskets. It was 12 minutes of the most lethargic basketball I've seen all season long. Albeit without your point guard, fine. You still have some pretty talented guys in Harris and Butler and Joel Embiid that, as you said, Bob, should just throw the ball off the air and by accident, law of averages, the one goes in.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I could even feel better today. Even if they lost last night, I would feel better if the effort was better. If I saw some like good movement on the pick and rolls, if I saw an offense that was running a crisp scheme that weren't finishing in points because you're playing second-tier players, you know, T.J. McConnell's starting or whatever it may be. But as long as I see the execution of things there, all right, if you come out with a loss last night, I'm not as upset as I am today. I'm upset today because the pick-and-roll defense was horrendous for the second straight game and appears to be getting worse. The offense had no continuity to it whatsoever. The defense was horrendous everywhere, and the effort was lazy. I'm sorry. Those things bother me, whether it's a win or, you know, if they'd have won last night, I'd have been concerned if those things that I just threw out there were still there. It would have concerned me.
I still would have felt a little bit better, though.
I would have liked to see
a better win. They weathered the storm. I mean,
you have to get to that part of almost perfection. You're going into the playoffs with a team you expect to get to the finals. There's 8 games left. You can't walk away from this saying, oh, it's okay. Okay, pick and roll defense. It'll show up first game in the playoffs.
One thing I would have liked to have seen is Tobias Harris, he gets off to these starts, and then he kind of fades away for the second and third quarters. And last night, you know, you have Shake putting up shots and TJ putting up shots. And sometimes Tobias just gets lost in the offense a little bit. It's almost like he doesn't know his role. I would like to see a couple more plays run through him, honestly. Like in that second and third quarter, he just faded. And like that's not good enough. You're one of the best 3 or 4 players on the court.
Hey, he ended their pointless streak.
Yeah,
by hitting those free throws.
Yeah.
Now he came out. I believe he was 4 for 4 in the first quarter and a half. Maybe
this is what he does now for the last 2 weeks.
And then
and then he fades away because I almost think like it's just constant. I felt like J.J. Redick high pick and rolls were like on a loop last night. Like I just felt like that's what we were. And Tobias just kind of stands around like. And I don't think it's a fault of his for not wanting. It's just like He doesn't know what his role is,
kind of.
Yeah,
theirs is a freelance offense, a pass and move offense, and kind of a, you know, just keep it going kind of until Brett decides maybe to call something, the rub play, whatever it may be. But a lot of times he doesn't do that. He says he doesn't want to do that. They're on their own. You're freelancing offense. This is where continuity, chemistry comes into play that maybe Tobias doesn't can't incorporate himself in there comfortably. You know, look at how he got off early. It was basically a breakdown. It wasn't like a pass. It was a breakdown stuff mostly. Yes. He broke guys off the dribble. He had a floater. He had a mid-range shot. He caught. He did have a catch and shoot. But, you know, maybe it's that chemistry that we've all been wondering about. That's what comes into play where he fades.
That's what I've noticed from him, and Jamie just mentioned it, but I'm not seeing that guy that has been consistently hitting that outside shot for the Sixers. And that's one of the things he did when he got here. He really put himself on the map as being that guy that could be a scorer. 20 points here, 30 points. 30 points against the OKC. They needed him in that game,
right.
But he stepped up. Whenever you don't have one of your other key cogs in the wheel like Ben Simmons, you got to have these other guys step up. And nobody did that yesterday. T.J. McConnell, like he was tied for second on the team in rebounds. Like, you need those assist numbers up from him. If he's not going to be shooting and scoring, which you're not expecting him to do, you need to get those assist numbers up, setting up guys like Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler. And Joel Embiid, just stick to the basics here. When you don't have a guy in like that, like Ben, stay down low. Do your thing down there. It's guaranteed points for you. You're either going to get fouled and get an N1, or you're going to get fouled and you're going to sink your free throws because you're a heck of a free throw shooter. Like, it just didn't seem like good basketball at all last night. And I'm going to go ahead and just brush aside the 12 minutes without scoring. Even outside that, it didn't seem like smart basketball. Like, none of it seemed like smart basketball.
No, I don't know how you can come away from last night and the night before combined together with much positivity. If you're going to go of the it doesn't matter, mindset, well, to me it does matter because you're trying to gear up for the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they've looked bad the two games since the Celtics.
Well, see, that right there is the difference, though, because I don't think they are trying to gear up for the playoffs. I think they're just trying to maintain for the playoffs.
Yeah, I respectfully disagree with you on that.
All Brett said is talk about this is the 3 seed. We're trying to land the plane and be ready for the playoffs. Well, why should I believe anything else?
No, I understand your belief, but to me, his getting ready for the playoffs, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're right, but to me, his landing the plane for the playoffs means you're getting ready by playing your best basketball.
It's not to make sure you guys are rested or staying within themselves. And
well, I mean, you can rest a guy here and there. They rested Simmons last night. They, you know, Embiid's already had all of
whatever,
his.
Yeah.
Remember last week we said that? Watch how much gastroenteritis is going to hit
this
team.
Yes, you did say that. Yes.
Yeah, it's funny. It just popped up.
It bit Ben.
Yeah.
Bit him good. There was, you know what? We're just being just a tad negative, I guess. There was a very nice thing
hit
that
it.
Happened. Hold on. Here we go. Here's the Zen.
You got to calm me down.
Can we hear Zaire last night, or Zaire, or whatever, it's Tom McGinnis, how he likes to say it? Here was the moment the 76ers broke their near 12-minute field goalless streak, and it came from the rookie.
And the Sixers with a drive by Bolden. Up top, here's Zaire for three, and it's in. How about that? Nice job. Zaire Smith, his first catch, and he makes a three from the top of the arc.
Yep.
Good little
Nailed
boy.
It.
Good job.
Nailed it. And after the game, can I hear Zaire talking about what his teammate said to him?
I've just been working on that for my whole life, so that's a good. That went in my first shot.
What type of feedback have you gotten from your teammates so far?
A lot of congratulations. And then they told me to get the towels.
Don't let that head get too big there, brother. Get those towels. Get out there. Made your first bucket. You made your NBA debut.
Yeah,
there we go.
Don't
that was
get
good.
Full of yourself.
There
though,
we go.
Son.
At least Zaire was a little light.
Yeah.
And he deserved it after breaking that little trend in the game yesterday. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We do need people at the Sixers game Thursday night. Despite all this, despite losing to the Hawks, despite losing to the Magic, maybe Jamie, maybe you were right. Maybe they need a little home cooking. Maybe they need to come back to where they had their last win, and that was against the Boston Celtics. We have our own little knockout game going on the court after the game. So we're giving away Sixers tickets. We got wide open lines for you right now. If you want to call in, 610-632-0975. Got to give those away in the final half hour of the show. So we'll jump into that. And also, some things that happened around the NFL world yesterday. Howie Roseman addressed the media. We'll jump into that coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5. The Fanatic, Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates for you. Howie Roseman addressed the media yesterday for about 20 minutes or so. Talked about a lot of things. Guess what? They want to bring Carson Wentz back on a big contract. So there's that.
Surprise, surprise.
they want to add some more pieces to the team. So surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And they want to also talk about why a running back hasn't been added in free agency yet. Here's Howie on that.
Going into free agency, it was very important for us to stay true to our beliefs. And that's the O-line, the D-line. Get an opportunity to get Ronald Darby back. Looking at playmakers for our quarterback. And when we talk about playmakers, we don't just talk about running backs or wide receivers or tight ends. We talk about that position group as a whole. And so there's a long way to go in this offseason. Really some opportunities that came about in free agency we didn't anticipate. At the same time, there are a lot of good players involved in free agency. So we'll continue to keep working at it. And also like a lot of the young players that we have on our team.
What percentage would you put on the idea that the Eagles go out and draft a running back in the first round?
If it's not Jacobs out at Alabama.
Alabama, yeah.
Yeah, no.
All right, what about the second round?
Maybe.
Warmer?
Yeah, getting warmer.
Third, fourth round?
Oh, third round, yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
I go 70% chance they go first or second.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Say. Go get that skilled position. Go get him. Don't you be waiting for the undrafted the rookies. As much as I like Corey Clement, as much as I like Josh Adams last year, you need to add a little bit more to this backfield than what you got so far. Let's get to Chris in Plymouth Meeting. Let's talk some 10-9-8-76ers. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, so I think what we really learned yesterday is just how critical Ben Simmons is to this team. When we talk about them being low energy, this is a transition team. And when you don't have Ben Simmons, you lose a lot of that transition.
Sure.
Four fast break points yesterday, Chris.
Right. And what's a surprise? Butler should be the point guard for 35 minutes if Ben can't play and you know, try to get what we can. But that's why you've got Joel wandering around the court because he doesn't have his buddy Simmons setting him up. You know, am I concerned about the lethargy a little? But you know what? If they get the four of them together and they play the same way, I'm a lot more concerned.
No, absolutely. Now, the only thing is, though, and I'm going to put you in the running for the tickets Thursday night, the only thing that is concerning is that you still had three pretty darn good players on the basketball court, and they still couldn't score for 12 minutes. Like, Ben Simmons or not, that's ridiculous. That's inexcusable. Jake, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Jake?
Yo.
Hey, buddy.
Barzetta, you got to chill out, man.
Well, people told me to chill out yesterday.
Hit it.
That's why I have this going for me tonight.
I'm here to tell you to chill out today.
All right. Jake, talk me off the ledge.
Listen, you're going to squeeze Zaire. You're going to give Zaire a couple of minutes in the playoffs. And we'll be fine.
Yeah, that's your answer. Play a guy that hasn't played a lick of NBA games and throw him in the playoffs and you'll be fine.
Jake, you're hurting me more than you're helping me because you're putting a quarter in the Bob Cooney machine.
It works itself
out. Come on. You can't give Zaire a couple minutes.
He gave him a couple of minutes last night.
Hey, he broke the streak of 11:42.
That is true. Yeah, that's a good point.
You just playoff answer. You're right, Jake.
One more time. Thank you.
And listen, Howie better start thinking about a running back. He better.
This was very helpful. Thank you, Jake. This was not
Jake's
helpful
on
at all
it today.
But you know what? He was quick to call, so fine. Yeah, we'll put him in the running for the Sixers tickets anyway. That was not at all helpful, just for the record. No matter how many times I gong it. Let's get to Seth in Westchester. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Seth.
Hey, this is kind of a continuation to the first guy that came on, his point about Ben Simmons. I think that the big reason that they couldn't get a lot of points in the transition was because he was not on the floor. However, I will say that it is crazy that we just beat Boston and now we just blew these two games. It's like, you know, you purchase this big Lamborghini, you know, you save up for it for a while and then it just gets robbed right from under you. And that's what it really feels like.
Yeah, kind of. Like, yeah. It's still great that they beat the Celtics, but I expected that to be the start of a good finish to the end of the season. They had, to that point, won, what, 6 in a row? And then they go into Atlanta, and they snap that streak. They call themselves out, to their credit, say everything you want to hear. They acknowledge that they were lethargic. They acknowledge they were lazy. They acknowledge their shortcomings. And then they go and they do the same thing against the Magic. With Ben Simmons or without him, you should have a little bit more effort in that game.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think everybody's got to step up. You can't, like, Jimmy Butler can't be scoring 13 against the Magic. You know, Joel's got to do a little bit better, and Tobias Harris has got to do more in the middle of the games. I mean, he's just non-existent in the middle of the games anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%, Seth. I don't want to put you in the running. I think people have lowered the bar for the Celtics when they should be raising the bar. Like, judging off the vibe we got yesterday from a lot of our callers and today, like, oh, you know, they beat the Celtics, so the bar is higher. We're fine now. That's not the case. No. It's not a one game prove it. It's a season you prove it. Now, look, they're going to win 50 games again for the second straight year. First time they've done that since the 80s. Okay. Right. That's great. But I also want to see this team be able to contend with the Raptors and be able to beat the Bucks and be able to make it out of the Eastern Conference. That's the bar now. Brett Brown did a great job before the season talking about how the expectation and the goal for the year was the NBA Finals. And now you went and added talent to this roster. Now it should be a championship. But it seems like people are still, oh, no, you know, you can still lose games. It's not a big deal. Yeah, okay, let's see how this team fares in the playoffs. Let's see if, God forbid, something happens to Ben Simmons where he actually has to miss some time. How is this team going to fare? Oh, no, it'll be a built-in excuse then. No, still not for me. Let's get to Sean in Newark. You're on 975 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
I want to take a shot at some tickets. But I wanted to start off when I told you so that probably puts me out of the running.
No, I love I told you so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bob, I'm talking mostly to you. I told you so last week that Embiid had two different things that he could have been called for that technical on Smart. One was the escalation, and then later the NBA contacted you and said that's what it was.
And I gave you your due credit, all right?
Yes, you did.
You gave me credit.
Although the other guy said, oh, he didn't just say that, but you did give me it. But the other thing was, I said that he extended his elbow. I said he smacked him with an elbow in the previous play, then he stuck it out again. And Marcus Smart specifically said the elbow that he stuck out. He said he hit me on the previous play, then he did it again with the elbow where he stuck it out and extended it and hit me again. He said, I looked for a call when I didn't get it. He said, that's what made me go after him. He said, but he specifically, Marcus Smart said it was the elbow, not the lean-in screen that caused him to go off. He said, because it was the second time in a row that he stuck an elbow out and hit me in the ribs. So
that way, you know, Sean, I'm proud of you. You were right two times. Good job, buddy.
All right, do I get the tickets for that? Or
no, hang up. I don't think you're in the
I am not going to hang up on this man.
All right, I got
Sean, hold on. No, Marcus Smart. I will say this. I remember your call. It was a good call last week. But I do remember the Marcus Smart, and he's lying.
It was a ball in the air that Joel went up and caught with two hands.
Yeah.
Yes. There is an angle where you can see him extend
the
elbow.
I'll get out the Zapruder film this afternoon. That play doesn't mean that much to me, to tell you the truth, Sean.
Yeah, that's old news. Let me make my Sixers point. I don't want to rehash the Brown and all the other things that everybody's talking about day after day. I know Ben Simmons didn't play yesterday, so I want to make a Ben Simmons point. And that is, I feel like everybody in the Philadelphia market, I mean everybody, that criticizes this guy wondering why he can't shoot a three or why he can't shoot a 15 to 17 footer, they all forget that for his entire career, both in high school and college, he was never a guard. He was a power forward. He played in the paint. He never went more than 10 feet away from the basket.
That's not true. LSU, he played a lot away from the basket.
But he wasn't doing outside shooting. He was a power forward.
No, that
forward.
You're and correct. But he still brought the ball up for LSU.
And then went down underneath to play power forward and then did his game from there. And that's what got him to the NBA was playing power forward. It'd be like saying Andre Drummond or Hassan Whitehead, and you stick them out 17, 20 feet away and wonder why they can't shoot. Well, they've never done it before.
I understand. But is that an excuse? Is that an excuse?
No, it's not an excuse.
No, because they're still basketball players.
Excuse, but
no,
he
it's
needs
not.
To get better, right.
No, so you're right. It needs to get better. And, Sean, good job. You're in the running for the tickets. But there's
and call us next time you get something right. So.
It's not an excuse. It's a reason.
You need to pat yourself on the back. Right. Hope your elbow's okay.
But, Trey, you're playing basketball, right? Eventually, maybe you trip over a basketball coach that'll teach you how to shoot.
But isn't it still a good idea to learn how to shoot?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I thought there was footage of Ben, like, draining threes, like, when he was in
high school. Yeah, yeah. Remember I sent that out to everybody a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Smooth as could be.
He was doing it in Los Angeles when they were playing out there.
And to Sean's point, Ben Simmons wasn't the first pick in the NBA because of his play at the power forward position.
Correct.
It was because of his ball handling and passing ability as a 6'10 ball handler.
Right. It might have said PF next to his name, but he played the position of a G,
of a guard.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, take Phil, Steve, TJ, Andrew. You guys stay right there. Get to in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Still a lot of meat left on the bone with the Sixers lost last night. Oh, relax, everybody said. It's all going to be fine. We have a new toy with this gong.
Can't let people get too angry. No. Can't let people get too, you got the gong. Got to get the people relax a little bit. Breathe a little bit.
Yeah, breathe.
You have your box of treats right there, Trey? You'll be good to go. You'll be good to go, my friend.
Yeah. This is from my man, Todd Harriman's and Company.
There you go.
From the Body Check.
Him and Riley were in last week.
Yeah, he and Riley. You know, CBD.
Chilling.
Infused products.
It's good for anxiety. A lot of people have Sixers anxiety right now.
Hell bad Sixers anxiety.
Might chill you out.
Yeah. I tell you what, I really enjoy listening to Riley, man.
Riley's cool.
He started talking like, oh wow,
yeah. Riley was a bad dude, man.
I want to sit here and listen more. Tell me more.
I mean that in the most positive way possible.
But he
handled his business.
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to him.
Let's get to Phil in Roxboro. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Wonderful.
Good.
One word: intensity. Mm-hmm. Against Milwaukee, it's an intense game. It means something.
Yes,
they rise up. Against Boston, it means something. They rise up. Orlando, not so much. Playoffs, the intensity will be back. The Sixers will be fine.
I don't like that being optional. Like, at least give me a consistent, smart basketball.
I got you with the stupidity, but I think once the intensity rises up, it's like, hey, we're locked in the third. They're not catching Toronto for two. It's not going to happen. They're not going to get caught by Indiana, so they got complacent. Is that a good thing? No. But there's no complacency in the playoffs.
Okay.
If there's complacency in the playoffs, then we got to fire Brown, of course, and, you know, make wholesale changes.
All right, Phil.
But I don't think it'll be wholesale complacency.
He's trying. Phil, you're trying to be positive, and I like it. But here's the thing. Would you rather Brett Brown set the bar higher and make the target the Raptors, the number two seed, or just do what he's been doing, which is, let's just be cool here at three?
Well, of course you'd rather catch Toronto, but it's like, you got to also think, what's realistic? Are we going to catch them? Probably not. Well, maybe we should rest and, you know, come into the playoffs fresh and ready to go. Would you rather?
Has anything in these last two outings told you that they're ready to go? You just said rest and be ready to go. All right. Well, look, you can play the rest of the games last night and like Saturday. I'm sorry, you're not ready to go by any means.
Right. And Phil, you're in the running for the tickets. So I'll put you on hold right there. Andrew, Phoenixville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. You would not use Zaire in the playoffs.
I would not. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's having a good day. No, I wouldn't. And I kind of disagree with the last caller, respectfully, of course. Because just the fact that, Bob, you said a few days ago that these are games that they are supposed to win, that, you know, there should be intensity every single day. You come out and play the game hard, and if you don't, you know, just like last night's game, that last night's game could give a blueprint to teams ahead of us to tell them, this is how they beat the 76ers because, you know, Magic beat them last night doing this so-and-so. So I feel as though the 76ers need to have a players-only meeting of what they really want to do, where they want to go for in the playoffs and beyond. And I don't believe Zaire is the answer for this year because...
No, he's not the answer. No. Yeah, he's definitely not the answer. No. I think we saw as much, and I got to put you on hold, you're in the running for the tickets. We've seen as much of Zaire as I think we're going to see. Maybe you'll see him get in a couple more games towards the end of the season, but as far as the playoffs, I don't know if that's going to be the right environment. If he really proves himself and shows like, hey, look, 30 pounds, 40 pounds, losing that in a short amount of time, he can bounce back from that, and he shows you he can play a little bit, then yeah, maybe, but I'm not going to be betting on it. TJ, real quick, what's on your mind today, buddy?
This is the Sixers' fault. This is not Brett Brown's fault. When you bring in a guy, a first-time NBA head coach, and you set him up to lose for the next 4 years, this guy is still coaching with a loser's mentality. They have too much damn talent. I'm on a double dose of THC, not CBD today, and I'm still this pissed off. I'm so friggin' angry, and you guys got to wake up. The coach is the problem. The coach should find this absolutely unacceptable. He made no adjustments last night. You know you have no Ben Simmons, so you have to change up your style of game, and the guy can't do it. He coaches one way, the European, the three-ball shot. You don't have the players to keep up with the way this guy wants to coach. He doesn't adjust. Ring the bell all you want. Mentality. Come on, I think TJ. That the Sixers are okay going into the playoffs.
Come on,
you're
man.
Out of your damn mind.
Come on.
I'm pissed off today, and Brett Brown is the frigging problem.
All right, Brett Brown wasn't missing shots for 12 minutes of the game. I'm not happy about Brett Brown. I'm still not firing him. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Listen, I called last week, and I was the pessimist, and I've changed my ways. I think Thursday night is going to be the test. I think Brett Brown has a chance to recover his team, and they come out with a win on Thursday.
There we go.
It's a must win.
There's the optimism.
Must win, and from then on, I think the guys will be ready to start playing. But coming home, you get some recover.
All right, let's hope that's the case, Steve. Thanks for the call. Now, I do want to get a Twitter poll update here brought to you by Window Nation. We had two today. So what the first one was 75% blaming the players instead of Brett Brown. Second one was what, Sam Wilson? Did we ever change it?
No.
It was Ben
Samantha.
Samantha.
Okay.
All right, fine.
So what's the final poll then?
Okay, so we asked, who do you... You scared me when you said
No, it's totally fine. Don't worry about it.
Who do you blame most for the Sixers' embarrassing loss against the Orlando Magic? We had just under 2,300 votes today. 78% said the players.
Ah,
so
there you go. And even more than that. How about that? Let's get our takeaways of the day brought to you by Right Out Window Nation once again. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is you guys are finally on my side that optimism is key. Thank you very much.
There you go. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
Arizona must have some great peyote because you came back in a very chill state.
Thank you very much. Bob Cody, takeaway of the day.
If Jake Arrieta has the bite on his balls that he did yesterday for this season, he's going to win about 14, 15
games.
Had a
little bite on his balls.
That was going to be my takeaway of the day, but I'll surrender that one back to you, Bob Cody. Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
Peyote's a hell of a drug.
All right.
I will not, I vow to never... use my Twitter like a text message.
Oh, good move.
That's a good one.
I feel like live and learn, right, Trey? Live and learn.
I've had that conversation with some of my older relatives, my friend. I'm going to concede my takeaway of the day to my new friend Nolan, who's in studio today. Nolan, what'd you learn?
That, I just forgot it.
He forgot it.
That's, you know what?
He did learn it.
I'm going to tell you right now. Nolan, my new buddy here, Nolan, if it was worth remembering at one point, it probably... was important. If not, it's worth forgetting. So congratulations and welcome to the studio. Good to have you in. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.